Meister Shahoya Kachoya. Reuven lives in New Jersey, and he has a job offer to move to LA. Accepts the offer, moves out, looks out for a house to buy to start the year off in LA. Finds himself a house, signs a contract, puts down a deposit on the house, puts down $20,000 on the house, and goes out again once with his wife to show her around. And while he goes to the firm that he's going to get hired by to work out some details, he tells his wife to go out and make whatever has to be done, do whatever has to be done for the house, prepare it, buy things that need, the house may need. So, having given her the green light, she goes out and she buys window treatments for the new house, and she buys furniture that she needs for the new house, and she buys light fixtures for the house. She has all these things that has to be delivered at later times. She puts down deposits and all these things. And they come back to New Jersey a short while before they're supposed to make the move. The firm that Reuven works for realizes that it's very hard to replace him. And they offer him a partnership, a very, very lucrative deal, that he decides to stay in New Jersey and not to go to L.A. So first question is, what does he do about his house? He put down a deposit on the house. He wants to know, what's the halacha with the deposit? Like, his deposit, like, he's not actually going forward and buying the house. So the question you have to really ask is, what are deposits? Put down deposits. What's the halacha with deposit? Sound the Gemara. The Gemara says there's two types of deposits. A deposit is put down on a house, probably gets partial payment on a house. It can either be what's called avuni yikoin, which is basically an asmachta. A person puts down money as a knas, as a fine for backing out. If I back out, the buyer backs out, and the seller gets to keep my deposit. And the way Tosis learns is, if the seller backs out, he has to give it my deposit and double it and give me also the amount that I had given him. That, the Gemara says, is an asmachta. It's told to be paskin asmachta kanya, asmachta loy kanya. What's an asmachta? Asmachta is when Chazal felt that people give themselves a knas, a fine, in the event that they won't do something which they thought they'd be able to do, and it turns out they can't do it. Chazal felt that people never really committed themselves entirely to that ischayvus, to that obligation. And the Mela, we cannot hold him to that ischayvus. So, if asmachta loikani, which is how we paskin, then deposits today, if deposits are going to be given by Reni Yukin, it's given as a knas, if I will back out, then asmachta loikani should say that you should not be able to keep the deposits. The other kind of deposit we find in the Gemara is called chilas peroin. In our language, maybe we call it a down payment, or putting money down towards the payment. That the money is put down to start the sale. I'm giving you money, kinyan kesef. I'm making the sale start. I'm giving you kinyan kesef. And the Gemara says that if you give partial payment, kinyan kesef is not required to give the full payment to make kinyan kesef. If I give you part of the payment towards, as long as it's towards the payment. According to some person, it doesn't have to be towards the payment, just money given at all. But especially if it's money is given towards the payment, then that's enough to make kinyan kesef, that the thing is now owned by me. I owe you the rest of the money as part of the payment. But the kinyan has actually happened now already, in which case, the case is karka. Karka is nikna v'kesef. Karka you could own with kesef, right? If someone buys a house with money, it's the kinyan that works as kesef. The house would belong to the person even though they gave partial payment. If it be metaltalin, could be giving something, buying a car, let's say, or something like that, then giving partial payment would not make a kin yet, but would make a mishapara. The person would be chayav a mishapara if he would want to back out, because the kesef has been given, even though it's only partial payment, but it's been given towards the sale. And once money is given towards the sale, if someone wants to back out, even though it's only partial payment given, we pass him like a bechelon, that it would be a mishapara if he wanted to back out. Now, it really depends what was said. If the language that was used was language which would indicate that what's being given is chilas peroin, it's being given as a payment. For example, a down payment would mean that. Then, avada we're going to do chilas peroin. If the language that's being used would indicate that it's not being used as a down payment, for example, I'm taking it as a security that you won't back out. Or, for example, if you'd say that the money you're giving as a deposit will be applied to the sale, time of sale, Also, clearly you're saying this money is not being used yet as a down payment. It's not yet a tchilas peroyin. This is something which will eventually be used towards the down payment when that happens. But right now it's being taken as a deposit, as a security. In those cases, l'chayre, you're dealing with aguni yikain. That's a case of a knas, that's not a case of tchilas peroyin. So the question is, what happens in cases where the language is not so clear? For example, most commonly used language probably is you've been given as a deposit. What is a deposit? What is the meaning of deposit, especially non-refundable deposit? What is the definition of deposit? There's a similar question that was the Pesukim discussed about 150 years ago. There was something called an edroif. An edroif was basically what many Pesukim today say is what our deposits are. Money was given at the time of the sale, and that money, in the event it would back out, would be lost. And some Pesukim held, Bishleima held, that's considered a chilas peroin. The money has been given as an advance payment. And other Pesukim held, and the way the Pesukim Tshuva brings down from Tshuva's Maim Chayim, was given actually as a knas. If you would back out, then you would lose your deposit. But it's not being given as a chilas peroin. And that's what Pesukim Tshuva paskins. And Minchas Pitim brings down that even though he agrees with Maim Chayim that what really this was given as a knas, the edroif was taka really a knas, and the pazas would taka be only an asmachto. But he says it doesn't make sense that a person would want to give money and lock myself in. I, the buyer, am coming. I'm giving money to you to lock myself in. I should be locked in. And if I back out, I'm going to lose the deposit. And you, Mr. Seller, what's locking you in? You're a free man and I'm stuck. So he says, therefore, it must be that really both things are happening. The money can be used for both things. To serve a dual purpose. On the one hand, it's been given as tchilas peroin, that in the event that one of us back out, we're going to have to get a mishaparim. On the other hand, it's been given also as a knas, that if I, the buyer, back out, you, the seller, will hold on to my deposit. Now, holding on to my deposit, what's the difference? The difference is that even though I want to accept a mishapara, I should be able to back out and get back my money. The minimum they're going to have to leave by you is going to be at least a deposit. It means that the seller is guaranteed to hold on to the deposit, even in the event of a mishapara. Now, the question is, even if that's so, what happened to the asmachta? How come the owner should be, the seller should be able to keep, hold on to the money? What happened to the asmachta? And that, there's really two ways out of that. One is that the Shuvas Maim Chayim addresses. And the sugya we saw over here, Bravuni Yikain, that a person puts down a deposit by the seller for the property and told him, if I back out, then you keep my part of the deposit. If you back out, you can double my deposit. I'm giving back double. The Gemara says that Tolin Asmachta Kani, Asmachta Loi Kani. The Rambam though holds that's very good on the part of the seller. That means the seller promised that he would have to give back a double the deposit that was given to him. On his part, an asmachta. But the buyer actually gave the deposit, the money already, to the seller. In which case, he has committed himself entirely to this asmachta, this is chayvus, to this knas. Because by giving the money into the hands of the person who he's basically going to have to give it to, he's committed himself. The whole problem of asmachta was that maybe you aren't committed entirely to this. Once you've given the money into the hands of that person, and you're basically saying that you've totally committed yourself to this chayvus, and if it will come true that I want to back out, I'm committed to that, and therefore you can't get your money back. So in this case is that the Machspitim was talking about, the most sales, the money is given to the deposit is given to the storekeeper, to the seller, in which case if he's holding on to the money, he could sign a kimli like the Rambam, I hold like the Rambam, which is the first day in Shulchan Aruch, and Chayav brings down. But a person could say, I hold like the Rambam, and therefore I'm not returning the deposit because according to the Rambam, it's not an asmachta since you already gave me the money.
What about the day of the mortgage? Most comes out of cash sales. The assumption that you're going to get a mortgage, it kind of puts a big flat on the whole deposit.
Okay, I'll only get that in a second. Not the mortgage, but the actual house sale might be different anyways. Another thing that may work is because something called Situmta. Situmta is that even though the many kinyonim that we find, Chazal gave us many types of kinyanim, kinyan mashicha, kinyan kesef, kinyan suda, and many kinyanim we find in the Torah and Chazal. There are other kinyanim that we find that are minik ha-soichim. There are minhagim that, like the most famous one is, what we know as in the Diamond District, people make deals on a shake of the hand, the mazel bracha, and that makes a kinyan. Since the minhag ha'soichim was that this is how the kinyanim work, Chazal said, by doing this, you've shown that you really want to make the sale, and we accept it as a ma'aseh kinyan. There's a debate in the poskim. That's very good, that the minhag ha'soichim will define what's a kinyan. What happens is the minhag ha'soichim says that this kinyan that we define as a kinyan works on things that normal kinyanim would never have the power to be kinyan. For example, a davish leib alaylam, something that doesn't exist yet, a normal kinyan can't work on. And other cases discussed is asmachta. Usually we say, let's deal with asmachta. Usually we deal with asmachta. We say that a person has not committed himself entirely. Chazal said the schayvus, the obligation you've made, you can be chayzer and go back on. But when the minhag ha'soichim, the minhag of the belt is that by doing this, a person has committed himself entirely. Many poskim hold that yitumta will work even on an asmachta, because that's part of what the minhag is. The minhag is showing by doing this act, I'm committing myself entirely to this knas that I promised I would give. If so, the minhag ha'soichim today definitely is on deposits, especially non-refundable deposits, that they could stay by the person who was given to. And therefore, the person again who's holding the money would be able to find a kimli, like those poskim ha'tanis who say that tumta could work on an asmachta, and could hold on to the money. I should point out, both of these issues will not work on a house. Because in a house, the money does not go to the seller, today's day and age. It goes to a lawyer, because it's an escrow by a lawyer. Which means the seller never actually received the money yet. The seller never actually received the money yet, so they can't tie on it. It's first of all not a mukhzik on the money. Because some person will do this, but most person will do this, not a mukhzik on the money. The mukhzik remains by the first person, the marakama, the original owner. The money never got transferred. So he's still the mukhzik. So on the question of halacha, if situmta works, doesn't work, he would be the mukhzik. On the question of the Rambam or not, first of all, even the Rambam would agree here, since the money wasn't given to the hands of the person himself, who's supposed to be the schayef too, supposed to be obligated to the seller, but only given to a third party, even the Rambam agrees there that still remains an asmachta. It's only not an asmachta, according to the Rambam, the money was actually put into the hands of the person who owned, the person who's the seller in this case, who's going to get the money. What? So for those reasons, it wouldn't work in a house. There's another reason why it might yes work in a house. And that is, Chazanish deals, when a person gives money as a down payment, and therefore is a tchilas peroyim, and therefore there should be a mishaparo. There should be a sale. But in our society today, it's what's called an asr de kasvi shtar. The Gemara says, an asr de kasvi shtar, even though normally karkas are bought and sold with money, with kesef, but in many situations or towns, the people, they expect the shtar. They want to have a paper, a contract, it's more than a contract, really, actually, a shtar that says that this was sold to me. I have that proof in my pocket, then I feel comfortable. To that point, I don't feel comfortable, even though I have all the money in my pocket already. The seller, the buyer, doesn't feel comfortable, even though he paid all the money. He wants to have the shtar that says clearly the sale went through. So our societies today are clearly places where asr de kasvi shtar, no one goes through a sale without the paperwork being done properly and the deed being transferred. And therefore, it would be asr de kasvi shtar, the money would not be able to be koinah even by karka. Even when someone's buying a house, even though kesef koinah by karka, but in our situations, kesef would not be koinah. But there is a machlek sapoiskin that, just like we find by someone wants to buy metalplin, wants to buy cars or other types of things, halacha is that Chazal took away the kinyan kesef and said instead of it should be a mishapara. So maybe here too, when kinyan kesef was done in a situation where normally the kinyan kesef would work all the way, but since it's an asr de kasvi shtar, it's a place where we don't rely on the kesef alone, and people are holding out to commit themselves until they get the actual shtar, the actual deed, maybe there should be a mishapara here also. This is machlekes ha'poskim. Rav poskim seem to hold there should be a mishapara. The Chazanish says that if money was given as a down payment, and asked the kasvi shtar, in that situation, the money is given, and asked the kasvi shtar, like us, where you're not committed with the money alone, but money was given. And therefore, if I'd want to back out the mishapara, if it would specify, stipulate in the agreement, that this money that was given as a down payment will be lost in the event that you back out, we could understand that what's happening was that the person was, even though that part of it that I said I will, if I back out, I will lose that money, that would not be an asmacht. Because what I'm really doing is, I'm paying with that money to buy off the mishapara I would normally get. Because an asmacht is not an asmacht either in a situation where a person understands that for his action, he deserves to pay because he's hurting the person by doing this action. So this situation too, where a person understands that if he's going to back out, he deserves a mishaparim, where he's machayiv himself, and he obligates himself to leave the money by you in the event that I'll back out, but also will not be a problem of a smachta. So according to Chazon Ish, if the money was clearly as a down payment, or if we'll use the minchas pitim svar, that every time the deposit is given, it makes no sense for the buyer to be locked in and not the seller, and therefore it automatically must mean that it's been given also as a down payment, and therefore creates a situation of a misha paro, even by buying a house. It would not be an asmachta if you stipulate in the contract to say that the money should be held back by the seller in the event that the buyer backs out. Now, besides this, there's a whole separate issue we're dealing with buying and selling houses, that a contract was signed, and there's a big discussion of what exactly does a contract do. Does that create a chayvus, an obligation to go through with the sale and not between the parties? That's with a whole separate discussion on how to understand contracts, but just dealing now with the actual money that was given. But it could be, if it would be a chayvus, we take assume it's a chayvus, we could deal with the snachta issue with a whole separate angle, whether or not by taking that money, really you're basically buying off this chayvus that you have. And since I was obligating myself to buy the house by leaving you the deposit, I'm released from my chayvus to buy the house. That's a separate shmuz. So as far as the house is concerned, Reuven has to deal with all these questions, whether or not it's the money, you know, here back as deposit. Pashas will not get back as deposit in these situations. A few days later, while he's sitting in his house, he gets a phone call for a delivery. They're delivering the furniture that his wife had ordered. He wasn't exactly so aware of this. Okay, what delivery? Well, you know, I'm staying in New Jersey. We don't deliver to New Jersey. You don't deliver to New Jersey, so can I have my deposit back? No, we're not giving you back your deposit. So here too, here we have the Michas Pitim Svar, that when the deposit was given on furniture, sofas, and whatever furniture she bought, that furniture was metalkalin. And even though I gave you a deposit, and even though the deposit would be considered that it was given as an edroif, like we said before, the place can understand to be that it's a security, if you back out, that's an asmachta. But, and we said it before, there'd be a minute you hold on to it. Besides that, it could be there would be a misha paro, because the money was given as tchilas peroyin, as a beginning of the payment, that the seller should not be able to back out either. In which case, really it should be a misha paro also. If you want to back out and you want to tell the person to hold on to the money, it could be a mishapara also. Just like the seller is locked in for mishapara, the borrower has to be locked in for mishapara too. But for that, it could be that part of accepting the deposit as a non-refundable deposit, understanding is that you're not going to have any other claims against me as long as I leave by you the deposit. Now, moving on to a few days later, our friend gets another phone call. The light fixtures that his wife had ordered. Forgot about that one too. Light fixtures have been ordered and they want to deliver them. He said, I'm living in New Jersey, I'm not moving to LA. Well, there's a deposit for that too. Now, over here, I'm going to assume for a second that the light fixtures were actually not in the possession of the storekeeper. He has in his warehouse all kinds of light fixtures, but sometimes he runs out of it and he had to order them. So this was known at the time, could be even if it wasn't known. So then when he ordered when his wife put the order in for the light fixtures and they had to order it, and the money was given, that money was given on something which the seller, the storekeeper, did not have yet. It wasn't in his possession yet. The question is there a mishapara on that? Because since Kinyan Kesef, mishapara comes in the place of Kinyan Kesef, and Kinyan Kesef has to be the person who owns the object. So the person doesn't own the object, so how could it be the mishapara? Because Kinyan Kesef wouldn't have worked either. So this is the halacha. Someone who makes up, I'm going to buy something for you based on shasha b'shuk, whatever the price is out there. Kibul domim, and he accepted money, and the guy did not have the thing, then the halacha is, he has to give it to him, and if he backs out, there is a mishapara. Now the question exactly is why. The smile learns, the reason is, because since we're talking about a case over here where the object is easily accessible, can be bought somewhere else for a set price, it's considered as if the person has it already. In halacha, we look at it as if the storekeeper has it, since he could just call up and order it from the factories, the suppliers, it's all around, so the price is set, we know what basically it's going to be. It's considered as if he has it already, and therefore when I gave him the money, the smas says, it's as if Kinyan Kesef would have worked, I would have made a Kenyan. I would have made that the Kenyan has happened, and if I would use a different Kenyan, Let's say I would use the Kenyan of Suda, my Mechalipin. Then I actually would make it as chayvus and a Kenyan for the person to have to go ahead and buy that for me and give it to me. In which case, just like everywhere else, Kenyan Kesef, where Kenyan Kesef would work, Allah is a Mishapara here too, since this is easily accessible and just call up the company and order it, but also right to be a Mishapara here. It's a good question, exactly how he's coined it exactly. It could be... What? It's Chayyar Pasha's kind of a Chayyus. It's not hard. Who's that Mekarka? I don't know if they come up to that. It's not, but it's Chayyus. The Chayyus person has to go ahead and buy it and give it back to you. These kind of cases, that's the vice to Chayyus. When the money, when the Chayyus is could be bought and then make the king then... It's chayvus to buy the metalton. When the metalton comes, it'll be a king. Because basically, once he gets it, there should be a king on that. Once he gets the chayvus, there should be a king on that already. That's a word, l'chayim. Could we make a king in there, yeah. So the shach argues, the shach holds that there is no king in such a case. Shach holds that there wouldn't be a king in such a case. And the reason why Yechayev and Mishaparu is because since money was given and a person gave his word to buy something, a commitment was made with money, that's why there's a Mishaparu. And the Machlokes really boils down to us, I couldn't explain, that there's really two ways to understand the Yisrael of Mishaparu. Is Mishaparu given because since a Kenyan Kesef would have made a Kenyan? And really, Matt Torah, there should be a Kenyan. Since there should be a Kenyan, the halacha is that Chazal wa'ikud the Kenyan said there is no Kenyan anymore. But in place of that, we're going to make a Mishapara. We're going to make this be a Mishapara instead. If that's the pshat, then I would have to follow the rules of where Kinyanim would work and where Kinyanim would not work. Or is the pshat that Chazal work the Kinyan Kesef, the Kinyan Kesef does not work anymore. But, thus that we have halacha mechus amono. If someone goes ahead and commits himself to buy something, halacha is that if he wants to back out, he's mechus amono, he's not doing a good thing. Chazal said that if someone went so far as to commit himself and to give money, put down money on it already, that's so far already, the halacha is over here, you have to get a Mishapara already. If that's the case, it doesn't have to follow the halachas of Kenyan Kesef, because it's not bound to the halachas of Kenyan Kesef. It's bound to the halachas of Mechus Ramonu, maybe even stronger than Mechus Ramonu, but simply the fact that you gave money on top of your commitment. So then, it's not totally at all in the Hilchos Kinyanim. So therefore, even though it's not easily accessible, this thing, I promised to buy you this thing, it's not so easily accessible, it's not around, or even it's not a Dovah Shabbat La'ilam, according to the Shach, even though it's not a Dovah Shabbat La'ilam at all, in such a case, Kinyanim don't work, clearly don't work. Still, since I gave my commitment to buy this thing, and I put down money on the thing already, that's enough to make it Ramchayev and Mishapar, according to the Sma, that holds that has to follow the Hilchos Kinyanim, and a Dovah Shabbat La'ilam, is not going to be a Mishapara, because only in specific case where it's Einu Bershusai, doesn't have it, but it's easily accessible, so we look at it as if he has it, that's what we can say, the Loch of the Sma, that since the Kenyan Kesef would have worked like a Sma holds, then we could consider it a case where it should apply a Mishapara. Okay, a contract, you have to know today's, an orders today that I've made, if it specifically says a contract that you're obligated to buy it, then we can deal with this chayvus. If it's many contracts, many order forms today don't say that. They just say basically it's a confirmation of the order. I don't know if that's enough to make it chayvus. What you have to know is it does become a setumta. There are some postmen today will say that when people make kinyanim, they're making an order form that will serve as a setumta for the kinyan. It's not so simple to say that, though. It may depend on the language of the actual order forms that are written on. No return, just speaking out the terms of the agreement. Right, so those are speaking out the terms of the agreement. But the question is, could... Well, you're bound by it. That's the question. If it's not written the right way, it's still going to stay in the smachta. It's because it says... Just because I wrote language in a contract that says that I'm going to... Why not? Even though we clearly speak out the terms, it doesn't take away that smachta. By Avuna Yikin, we spoke out the terms very clearly. The Gemara by Avuna Yikin, I speak out clearly the terms. It's still in a smachta. The only way to get out of a smachta is to change the language in a way that you could make it... There's no ways to do it. That you should make it not be in a smachta. Or do you have to have somehow that it's one of the svaras we said earlier, why shouldn't it be in a smachta? Because you have the money, or because it's a setumta, and you actually hold on to it. But just writing the language, just spelling out clearly what you plan on doing, doesn't take away the smachta. If the language will be a language that you're committed to the sale, you might have a schaikus, that's true. Now, one more thing, the case with the The case with the window treatments, those are custom-made, generally. Those things are chayav dovah shel b'loilo. They don't exist yet. Going to the shach? Could be. Just quickly, the window treatment chayav dovah shel b'loilo. Dovah shel b'loilo, we said before, is telling the mechayik the sma neshach. The sma said that dovah shel b'loilo, there's no just kinyan there, so it can't work. You can cast kag mishapar. And the shach said that we don't care as long as you made a commitment, you gave money on the commitment, there's going to be a mishapar. So what do we do? We have a suffix, there's a mishapar. What happens now? So as I'm sure you all up and now, that's why it's a mechayik. You have the marsham holds that an esophic, if there's a mishapar. The halacha is that the person who has the money is mochzik. He has the money. He could say, if you want your money back, you got to accept the mishapara. The Rishai is ma'ir to argue that it can't be. And he holds that if the money, the nesafik mishapara, you have to give back the money, and the person does not have to accept the mishapara. Now, it seems to be the machlokes is tali in basically how to understand one side of the chakir we spoke before. We've said before, the shachol mishapari is basically having given a commitment, and having given a commitment, I put money on it, that's why I'm chayav mishapari if I want to back out. The sma said, no, it has to follow the rules of kinyan kesef. If kinyan kesef works, or would have worked, then there's a mishapari. If kinyan kesef doesn't work, then there's no mishapari. But it has to follow the rules of kinyan kesef. Now on that side, what happened now when kinyan kesef, Chazal said kinyan kesef doesn't work. Did they say that kinyan kesef is out? It doesn't work at all. And now, just in place of the kinyan kesef, we're making a mishapara. And that, if that's the case, then when someone, we have a suffix mishapara, there's no question as to who the money belongs to. The money belongs to the person who gave the money. Because no sale happened yet. The sale didn't happen yet. I gave you money towards the sale. The sale didn't happen yet. So the money is my money. So then, of course, you have to give back my money. If we have a suffix now, what should happen? Well, if we have a suffix now, we should accept the mishapara. The money is clearly mine, giving back my money. If we have to give mishapara, that's a separate question. But there are the tzad and achorim who want to say that even the chazal were oikered the kinyan kesef. They weren't oikered entirely. Either they say that they left it over as far as the money that was given, and that half of the sale goes through, that the money could be used by the seller. He has the rights to use that money. Or they say that the kinyan kesef actually was chal. There's actually a level of sale over here. The level of sale is to the extent that you can back out, but you'll have to accept the mishapara. That which you have to accept the mishapara is not just the klal of chazal put on you if you want to back out. They put on you, they're telling you that the kinyan exists to the extent that you can only back out if you accept the mishapara. In those situations, if you go with one of these two mahalchim, one of these two ways, and understand what kinyan kesef was after the chazal were oikered the mishapara, the kinyan kesef, then you can understand that really the muhsik today is the person who has the money. Because he has the money, a sale went through to the extent that the money he's holding is his, until you accept the mishapara. In which case, he's muslim today on the money, and if he's muslim on the money today, then he can say, I'm not giving it back to you until you're makabel mishapara. I'm trying to point out one more thing. In the story, we were talking about the window treatments, it will come out then, that this should be told in this machlek, is whether, oh, it's only one more thing, sorry. But Adavish Leibel Oilam, which is the window treatments, over here, everyone should agree that the muslim is going to be the storekeeper, the original owner. Which first halacha do you mean? I'm going by suffix. When there's a suffix. Right. So that, can I give back the money? Do I have to give back the money or have to accept mishapara? Right. I'm not going with that right now. I'm going with just a regular case of suffix mishapara. Maybe with suffix mishapara. For example, one of the cases, the halacha is the phrase is going to get ruined. The fire is going on, it's praising everyone. So the halacha is the machlokes get back out or not. In those cases, where it's machlokes, you get back out or not, there's a shaila, what happens now? So in the case of Dovish Lebel Oilam, here everyone agrees, even the shach, everyone agrees here, it doesn't pass a kinyan. You can't possibly say that tzad, that a kinyan happened part way, because kinyan can't work in Dovish Lebel Oilam. Kesef can't work in Dovish Lebel Oilam. It can't work on these kind of cases. So here it has to be, that if it's going to be, even in the event that it'll be mishapara, the mishapara can only work the way the shach's way. That there's no kinyan kesef at all over here, just for having committed with money. But the winner said, halacha should be clearly that since it's a suffix, if it's a mishapara at all, and the only chance there is a mishapara is that there is no kinyan kesef really, nothing happened really, only that having given money on the commitment, that's why I would have to accept the mishapara. So since everyone agrees that the money in this case is really the buyer's money, he would definitely be entitled to his money back, and the mishapara, the suffix, has to accept the mishapara, he wouldn't have to accept the mishapara. I just want to point out, even though he could get back his money, maybe, as the Mishapara wouldn't deal with the smachta issue. In fact, the money was given as a knas in case he backs out. And there are other reasons why you have to keep the money, why the owner could keep the money. Besides that, if the owner, the seller, has incurred any costs by having ordered this item, and therefore, by you backing out, he's losing that money above what the deposit was, he would be entitled to ask that money back in a case, because of Gami. Basically, you're damaged me. By backing out, you're damaging the expenses that I had, that I extended, to order this item for you. The only thing is, in that case, if he's an owner, why he's staying in New Jersey, for example. In this case, he stayed because he had a more lucrative job. That's not an owner. It's called an owner's mum. Basically, for monetary reasons, you decided to stay here. That's not a reason why you could damage me to lose my money over here. But if you're staying in New Jersey for whatever, let's say medical reasons for staying in New Jersey, then in such a case, Taka, he would be potter for the extra damages that are incurred above the deposit.